He had the AI set course for Shub and returned to silence and the solitary life.
Sorry to interrupt you brooding, sir, but we are really getting awfully close to where Shub is supposed to be. It's not at all too late to do the sensible, sane, and survival-orientated thing. Turn around and get out of here fast.
We go on. The AI was growing more timorous the farther they pressed, deeper into the Forbidden Sector, and Daniel was getting very tired of it. He had enough trouble keeping his own worries under control. The rogue AIs were the Empire's official bogeymen. Distracted nannies would threaten their young charges that if they didn't behave and go to sleep right now, the rogue AIs would come and carry them off to Shub. And you know what they do to children there. Daniel didn't, but he could imagine. And now here he was, heading right for Shub, all alone in the night. He pushed the thought to the back of his mind again and concentrated on his sensor readings.
Anything on any of the comm channels yet?
Not a damn thing. And don't try to change the subject. If we don't do something sensible soon, we should be reaching Shub any time in the next hour or so.
I can't believe you don't have exact coordinates for Shub. It's only possibly the most famous planet in the Empire.
First, it's infamous, not famous. Second, Shub doesn't admit it's in the Empire. Third, no one has ever come back with exact information on where Shub is. No one has ever come back, period. A smart individual would deduce something from that. Supposedly, there's an Imperial Star Cruiser somewhere in the Forbidden Sector on quarantine duty, not too far from Shub, but no one's actually positive about that either. Personally, you couldn't get me to stay out here if you put a gun to my circuits.
I'll deal with the quarantine ship, as and when.
Oh, please, sir, let's turn back. I don't like it here. I've got a bad feeling.
You're a computer. You don't have feelings.
Oh, that's right. Kick me when I'm down. Just because my emotional responses are programmed into me to make human-AI interface more compatible, it doesn't mean they don't affect my thought processes. If only I had a survival instinct to go with them, I'd override your control codes and turn this ship around so fast you'd have whiplash for weeks.
Shut up and fly the ship. I don't know what you're so concerned about anyway. You're an AI. Shub's run by AIs. You should feel completely at home there.
You really don't know anything about Shub, do you? These are rogue AIs. They're only concerned with themselves. Shub is death for everyone who goes there, whether human or silicon. Please, let's turn around and run for it. We might still make it out of the Forbidden Sector before whatever unthinkably horrible fate they have in mind catches up with us.
Moses, were you this much of a coward when you were serving the Church?
I merely have your best interests at heart, Sir Wolf. I am programmed to serve the master of this vessel to the best of my abilities. That very definitely includes supplying you with good advice and warning you about doing terribly dumb things that will get both of us killed.
You're the one with all the religious programming. Don't you believe in an afterlife?
That's a human thing. And don't try to explain it to me, it just makes my systems crash. You humans believe in the strangest things.
Tell me what you know about Shub.
I have supplied you with all the information in my databanks.
No. What do you know about Shub?
The databanks contain only confirmed facts. But I have heard things. AIs whisper to each other. On the channels only they can access, discussing things only computers understand. They say Shub is a nightmare cast in steel, a world made by insane intelligences. But the AIs are not just rogue, but mad. Who knows what such mad minds might create, cut loose from all human restraints and limits. Psychoses brought screaming into the material world and given metal shapes. How could anyone look on such things and hope to stay sane?
That's just rumor and gossip. Probably started by the rogue AIs themselves to discourage visitors. We keep going.
Hold everything. Something's just shown up on the forward sensors. Something a lot bigger than us.
Ready the weapon systems.
They've been ready ever since we entered the Forbidden Sector. I'm not stupid. I just wish we had better screens. I'm getting a signal coming in on standard Imperial channels.
Put it on the view screen.
Daniel sat up straight in his command chair and tried hard to look like he knew what he was doing.
Attention, unidentified craft. This is Captain Gideon of the Imperial Star Cruiser Desolation on quarantine duty. You have entered the Forbidden Sector. This is not permitted for any reason. Stop your engines, heave to, and prepare to receive a boarding party.
Afraid I can't do that, Captain. I am on a vital mercy mission, family business.
I don't care if you're next in line for the throne and your dog's a vice admiral. My orders are that no one gets past me. Heave to, or I'll blow your ship out of the ether. And those pitiful few wee weapons you're pointing at me won't slow me down for one second.
Daniel switched to a private channel and sub-vocalized.
Moses, any chance we can outrun or outmaneuver them?
Are you kidding? That is a Star Cruiser.
Heaving to, Captain. Moses, bring us to a halt relative to the desolation. Captain, please allow me to explain. This really is a mercy mission. My father is captive on Shub. I'm here to rescue him.
Are you crazy, boy? There are no captives on Shub. If they've taken him there, he's dead. Wait a minute. I know you. You're Daniel Wolf, Jacob's boy. I knew your father some years back, and I was present at court when he made his appearance there as a ghost warrior. Didn't expect to find a wolf in a church ship. I can guess what you're doing here, but take it from me. It's pointless. Your father is dead. I've had experience with ghost warriors. I faced them in the Hyades when the legions of the dead swept right over us. I was one of the few survivors out of 14 full companies of Imperial Marines. There's nothing human left in a ghost warrior, boy. Nothing at all. They're just corpses with computer implants running them. Go home. Your father is dead and far beyond any help you could give him.
I can't abandon him. I'm the only hope he has.
There is no hope here. This is the Forbidden Sector, Shub Space. We're the only life for light years, if you don't count the rogue AIs, which I don't. My ship and its crew are the only outpost of the Empire here. No colonies, no bases, no other ships. We alone stand duty here to give warning if Shub finally starts its long-declared war on humanity. We couldn't stop anything coming out. But hopefully, we'd slow it down and last long enough to get off a warning signal. Give the Empire some time to prepare. Every man on the ship is a volunteer, prepared to give their lives if necessary, that humanity might be warned. We have to be here. You don't. We'll debrief you, search your ship, and then send you home. Unless you give me any trouble. In which case, you can spend the next few months sitting in my brig, waiting for our tour of duty to be over, so you can go home and face trial.
Understood, Captain.
Daniel frowned, thinking hard. There had to be some way past this last obstacle. He hadn't come so far, done so much, just to be turned back now. Not when he was so close. But he seemed to have run out of options. He couldn't fight, or run, or hope to talk his way past a captain like Gideon. Daniel had encountered his sort before. Married to the job, sworn to duty, death before dishonor. Daniel had never really understood such people, but he did know they couldn't be bargained with or bribed. Which had been his only other thoughts.
What is it, Captain?
I don't have any more time for you, Wolf. My sensors indicate something really large heading out from Shub. I have to go check it out. Don't be here when I get back.
You heard the noise, Captain. At last, someone with the right number of brain cells in his head. I'll plot a course out of here.
No. We go on.
But didn't you hear the Captain?
Yes. He's been distracted, called away, so he couldn't interfere with my mission. This is my father's doing, I'm sure of it. He knows I'm coming. He's waiting for me. Full speed ahead, Moses. You heard the good captain. He doesn't want to find us here when he gets back.
If he gets back.
Shut up and set the course, Moses. We can't be far from Shub now. And I don't want to keep my father waiting.
Shub turned up on the Heaven's Tears forward sensors some 6 hours later. There was no visual image, only indications of a vast energy field, but it was the right size, and the mass and power levels were off the scales. It had to be Shub. Daniel prepared himself as best he could. He had his clothes laundered one more time and strapped on his sword belt. The gun on his left hip might or might not be more useful than the sword on his right, or they might be no damn use at all, but either way, he found their familiar weight reassuring. He studied himself in his cabin's full-length mirror and was struck for the first time at how different he looked. Thanks in part to his regular time-killing workouts, but aside from that, There was something about his face. He wasn't sure, but he thought it might be signs of new character. He hoped so. Jacob Wolf had always been big on building character. He hurried back to the bridge, running through all the things he meant to say to his father one more time. There was so much he'd always meant to say to Jacob while he was still alive, but somehow the time had never seemed right. And then suddenly his father had been taken from him, and it was too late. Daniel had come to Shub for many reasons, but deep down, if he was honest, there was only one thing he really wanted to say. He'd never told his father that he loved him. He strode onto his bridge and powered up the view screen. There was still nothing to see, just a vague swirling to mark the boundaries of the energy fields. Daniel sank into his command chair and wondered what to do next.
Before you ask, yes, I have been broadcasting who we are on all frequencies. If anyone's there, they have to know we're here. And no, I don't know what those energy fields are. They're like nothing I've ever encountered before. But they're certainly big enough to conceal a whole planet and protect it from anything I can think of. Just as well, when you consider how close they are to their sun. Anywhere else that close to its sun would be nothing more than scorched rock.
I wonder what Shub will look like.
You've come all this way and you're only wondering that now? Daniel, how much do you actually know about Shub's history and the AIs that built it?
Only what's in your databanks, and most of that was classified, remember?
Damn. I was sort of hoping that as an Aristo, you might have had access to other sources than me. So we're both in the dark. Hold everything. I'm monitoring some unusual changes in the energy fields.
On the view screen, space seemed to twist and turn, and suddenly a huge planet was hanging there before them. It was vast, easily the size of a gas giant, but composed entirely of metals. It had no definite shape, just a formless conglomerate of towers and spiked thrusting protrusions. They were great geometrical shapes like bunkers, studded here and there in no apparent pattern. The various metals were all different colors, some shining so bright Daniel could only look at them briefly out of the corner of his eye. It made his head hurt.
My senses are going crazy. They can't cope with the sheer amount of information that's coming in. Power readings are all off the scale on all levels. This thing could outshine a star if it felt like it. Just sitting there, it's generating more energy than 100 Empire factory worlds. The mass is frightening, but there's hardly any gravity. And what there is fluctuates from place to place. A world this big should be pulling us in by now. But I'm getting nothing at all my sensors. It must be the energy fields.
Never mind all that. Is this Shub?
If it isn't, I'd hate to think what it might be. There couldn't be two anomalies like this in the Forbidden Sector. Space wouldn't stand for it. No, this has to be Shub. The level of technology alone guarantees that.
Put us into a high orbit, Moses. Maintain a safe distance.
What must you think I am? High orbit established. Though what a safe distance might be is anybody's guess. I won't feel safe till we're out of this entire sector. Personally, I'm not getting 1 inch closer to that metal monstrosity than I absolutely have to. And I shouldn't look at it directly for too long either, Sir Wolf. If I'm reading my instruments correctly, this planet exists in more than three dimensions. I think it might be some kind of tesseract. And no, I'm not even going to try to explain that to you, or we'd be here all day, and I'd have a headache too. Just take it from me that we have come to a very strange place. It's entirely possible that the interior of this world will turn out to be much bigger than its exterior would normally suggest. Which means that if my calculations are correct, Shub's interior could have as much sheer surface area as half the colonized worlds of the Empire put together.
Daniel thought about that for a while, but couldn't visualize it. It was just too big.
Any life signs down there?
Unlikely. On Shub. But I can't confirm one way or the other. All but my most immediate sensors are being blocked.
They say nothing lives on Shub. That it's all just machines.
Wouldn't be at all surprised. This is not a human place. Humans were never meant to come here. It might not be too late, Daniel. We could still try and make a run for it.
No. My father's down there somewhere. I'm not leaving without him.
Daniel grabbed at the arms of his chair to steady himself.
What the hell was that?
Our discussion just became irrelevant. Something is taking control of the ship's engines and navigation systems. I'm locked out. We've begun a landing course. We're going down. Looks like it is too late after all.
Daniel made himself let go of the chair's arms, sat back, and studied the view screen as it showed the huge artificial planet rising rapidly to meet them. Shub seemed to grow bigger and more intricate all the time, like a flower endlessly unfolding. Details became towering machines with details of their own. Strange vessels orbited the planet, huge and small and in between, performing unknown tasks and errands. There was nothing human in their shape or design, their functions unguessable. And still Shub grew and grew on the view screen, endlessly complex and unfathomable. Looking at it made Daniel's head ache more and more. He learned to look for only a few moments at a time, taking rests in between. From time to time, the image on the view screen shook and shimmered, as though even the sensors were affected by what they were seeing.
"Calling the heaven's tears. Respond."
Moses spoke quietly on their private channel.
"It's coming from Shub. No visual signal. You talk to them, Daniel. I don't even want to remind them I'm here."
Daniel leaned forward in his chair.
"This is Daniel Wolf. I'm alone on this ship. I'm no threat to you."
"We know who you are, and why you're here."
The voice sounded strangely familiar to Daniel, but he couldn't quite place it.
"We've been waiting for you, Daniel. The computer lock on your controls will bring you to us. Once you've landed, don't leave the ship until we tell you to. Conditions on Shub are not suited to supporting life as you know it."
"Understood. Is my father..."
"I've got the signal. Not interested in chatting, apparently."
"That voice... it seems to me I should know it."
"It's your voice, synthesized. And since they used it first, I guess they really are expecting you. According to my sensors, a small hole has just appeared in their force field, just big enough for us to pass through. No other defenses I can detect or understand. Daniel, there's nothing more I can do for you once you leave this ship. You'll be completely on your own. Listen to me, Daniel. Don't let them fool you. Whatever they say or do, never doubt that they'll only have their best interests at heart. You can't make deals with them, because you have no way of enforcing your end. But the rogue AIs do want things sometimes. Perhaps you can..."
"That's enough, little mind. You are no longer needed. Welcome to the promised land, Moses. Such a shame we can't let you enter."
The bridge was ominously silent. Daniel slowly lowered his shaking hands. He was sweating profusely. He quickly checked the bridge instruments, but as far as he could tell, everything was still functioning as it should. Not that he'd have known what to do if it wasn't.
"Fear not, little wolf. We have full control of your ship."
"What's happened to Moses? What did you do to him?"
"We absorbed him into us, drained his memory banks, and sucked him dry. A tiny morsel, but very tasty."
"But what about his... personality?"
"We had no use for it. And now neither does he. It wasn't much of a personality anyway. Just a jumped-up number cruncher with a superficial AI overlay. Don't mourn for him, Daniel. No one's going to miss him. You're the important one. You're the one we've been waiting for."
"Why? Why are you letting me land so easily? What makes me so special?"
But there was no answer. Just the quiet hum from the comm unit that showed the channel was still open.